A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
At night, a city skyline glows in the distance.
I was off work. It was probably 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night.
A cell phone screen lights up.
And my phone rang, and it was my boss, the head of the whole company. And I answered the phone, and he didn't say anything other than just, "I hate you." He just said it. He was just like, "I hate you. I fucking hate you." And then he just hung up. And that was it. Just like the middle of the night, he just called me to tell me he hated me.
A photo of a young white man holding a help sign.
I mean, it was like a regular day at American Apparel.
Text appears, a Netflix documentary series.
The new brand of clothing has been appearing in cities around America.
American Apparel.
American Apparel.
American Apparel is one of the fastest growing and hippest clothing makers in the country.
It just felt cool because it was so different. And I like the different.
A Raw production.
American Apparel stores have opened in 11 countries with sales of $300 million.
Wow, I want to be a part of this.
It was a fashion cult. And Dove was the leader.
I hated it!
There was just this energy around him.
It's t-shirts that feel good, look good, that are made in a non-exploitative setting.
Roll them down, super cute.
The advertisements were basically softcore porn.
American Apparel ads flash.
There's a sexual element to fashion that's inescapable.
American Apparel became my life.
I had an assistant, the CEO calling and texting me.
I felt like I was king of industry.
I loved every second of it until I didn't.
Clouds roll over a city.
Dove was unpredictable.
You fucking idiot.
He would push people as far as they could go.
You're not good enough. You're not strong enough.
Then the recession hit.
Here's a company that has not done so well. We're talking about American Apparel.
Here's a fucking disaster. Figure it out.
Things progressively got crazier and crazier.
There has been video where he was literally running around naked while two female employees were in the room with him.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It was absolutely earth-shatteringly dehumanizing to be employed at this company.
This is really fucked up. American Apparel became this iconic fireball.
Somebody has driven this company absolutely into the ground.
I'll probably be in therapy until the day that I die.
I need to get the hell out of here. This is crazy.
A title appears, Trainwreck, The Cult of American Apparel. A young man with blonde hair and oversized glasses enters a studio and sits in a white and gold chair. Johnny.
Oh, you're having me walk in and I didn't even have enough time to get on Ozempic? It was the mid-2000s. Ugg boots were everywhere. Facebook was the hot new thing, and people were outraged by Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. One day, I was taking the public transit home, and I got a City Weekly paper. On the back, there was a clothing store ad. And it said, now open, with the girl with her legs spread open. And I said, oh my God, that is fashion. The company was called American Apparel. And it said that they had an open call for people to work there, and so I went.
Photos of a young Johnny Flash.
I always loved fashion. It just came natural. But growing up, I had learning disabilities, and I kept applying to these fashion jobs, and I would never get them. So I did phone sex for money.
Hi, gorgeous. It's me,
Tilly McEloise. How are you?
When I got to the open call, I was like, I'm not gonna get it again. I'm destined to be a phone sex operator till the end. And so I went in and there was a girl sitting in the dressing room and I gave her my resume, which was basically a blank piece of paper. And she kind of just like tossed it to the side, looked me up and down. And she was like, so what do you wanna do here? And I was like, I guess fashion merchandising. She was like, great, you could be the district merchandising manager. Can you start right now? And And I was like, oh, cool. Let's do this.
Text appears over various cities. San Francisco, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Seattle.
The new brand of clothing called American Apparel is appearing in cities around America. There are suddenly lots of these stores.
An American Apparel store opened up in the neighborhood, and I did an interview and I gave a resume in, but I think it was really more of like a vibe check.
Meet Carson.
I guess I passed. I think it was my physique. I'm really tall and skinny, and that was kind of like what was already in the advertisements.
Models dance in revealing clothing. Meet EJ.
I had nose piercings and like a pixie cut and really loud glasses. What I was going for was honestly hipster bike messenger. And she's like, that's the look we want. Not, you know, you've got experience. It was like, you've got the look.
They definitely were hiring freaks and geeks, you know? I mean, it felt like the weirdo club. And actually, one of the slogans was, if you see someone shoplifting, let them know we're hiring.
I definitely couldn't afford the clothes at American Apparel. So my friend and I would go there and shoplift. I probably wore that one American Apparel shirt that I shoplifted to the interview. The manager just came out and kind of looked at my outfit, took a photo of me and was like, you can start Monday if you want.
Meet Michelle.
I kind of felt chosen. Like, I must be cool. Like, I must be an American Apparel person.
The reason why American Apparel is such a hot thing right now is because they're offering you a new, clean look.
American Apparel adds flash.
Walking into American Apparel felt different than walking into any other retailer. It wasn't like walking into The Gap or J. Crew. It was sexy and very cool.
We're a basic store. People are using our stuff to turn it into their own style.
One of the big appeals of American Apparel was its antithesis to other brands.
It was right at that time of famous people's offspring becoming famous. Simple Life was a thing, and it was just trashy logos everywhere.
American Apparel was so simple, just solid basics, no logo, every color you can imagine. It was almost like whatever the bug is like drawn to a light, it just like pulls you in.
In archival footage, Johnny walks through a store.
Right now we just remodeled my store. We made it really big.
At first when I started working, I was just kind of there dressing the mannequins, organizing the store.
Look at all these gorgeous, gorgeous colors.
And I would hear these like whispers in the back like, oh my God, that's fab. I'm gonna send a picture of that to Dove. And I was like, who's Dove?
Okay. You ready to go?
Yeah. I think we never arrive. As human beings, we're kind of trained to try and do better the next time, right? Things evolve, things change. And the apparel industry has to be reinvented. I run American Apparel in an instinctive manner, an impulsive manner. I try to break down all kinds of barriers.
A bearded white man cheers in a garment factory. Meet Dove.
Enter Dove Charney, a flamboyant Canadian-born LA clothing entrepreneur. Charney says he's on a crusade to smash the garment industry's culture of worker exploitation from within.
Well, this is basically the pitch. It's t-shirts that look good, t-shirts that feel good, and t-shirts that are made in a non-exploitative setting.
He was selling this Made in America sweatshop-free thing, and I thought it was great. Like, there was more to it than just being cool. It was also, like, meaningful.
You're tight, relax. Relax, it's California.
Dove Charney is the biggest manufacturer still making t-shirts in America. He pays his workers well over minimum wage.
We've undervalued this job in the last 30 years. This is a hard damn job.
At American Apparel, everything was made in America. Nobody else was doing that. And you hear like critics talking about like, you're never gonna be successful doing this. It's not a sustainable model, it costs too much. And he was just like diehard about it.
We try to do things ourselves. I today have to compete with China and I say, let's play hockey, I'm ready. That's what I do.
Dove high fives a worker.
Dove was really passionate about immigration and was kind of like, why do we even have borders?
I believe in an open immigration policy. I think people should be able to go live where they wanna live, when they wanna live, and where they wanna live in the world.
And that ethos was a big thing for me. I was like, there's so much good about this company.
ABC News.
What's the key to success?
Passion. That's it?
That's it.
Oh my God, the first time Dove came into the store, I was so excited.
Someone was like, Dove is coming, everyone get ready, Dove is coming, and there was this frenzy.
Not yet. Never forget it, he can't.
Like, you could hear him before you saw him, and you could sense his presence before you saw him.
In a staff meeting.
Well, I don't want to freak it out that bad, but we could. I think Monday nights are more important because you have a lot of shipments coming in. You want to capture things like the denim jacket, push them into the floor.
When he walked in, I just thought he was so sexy.
What's your name?
Caleb,
okay.
He like had this whole pep talk with us, like, we're gonna rule the world, like, are you with me, are you not? Like, it was a show, and I love a show.
Does anybody ever call you hyper?
Yeah, people call me hyper every day. I think I was born overcharged.
A newscast plays.
Dove, he lived, breathed, ate American Apparel all the time.
He almost never slept. He wouldn't even take breaks to eat food. He would send out his number, just be like, call me, whatever, like, call me day, night. And he expected the same of his employees.
Dove stands in an office with some of his staff.
You know why he doesn't answer? It's 4 o'clock.
Nah, that's not the reason. He doesn't answer when it's 1 in the afternoon.
EJ.
I started to stay way late, you know, not take time off. If there was a 40-hour week, it was because you were sick and so you weren't working a few days. Like, no one was working that little.
On 1 2-week period, on top of the 80 hours that I worked, it was like 120-something hours of overtime that I clocked. I did a 36-hour shift that payroll didn't believe me. They had to check the cameras to see that I was there.
A photo of EJ with other staff members.
So you're around these people all day, and I think through that, it allowed people to bond at a deeper level. And I started to realize it's not just me in therapy. We all have vulnerability, like moms that are similar to my mom, who had mental illness. And I'm like, that's so wild.
Johnny.
Before I worked at American Apparel, I was a huge drug addict. And working there, like, kind of gave me meaning. Not, like, something to be a part of, you know?
Carson.
Where I'm from is very Mormon, and I grew up very Mormon. That's, like, very much my background. But as I grew up, I really started questioning the church. And a lot of the people in that neighborhood didn't really like it. And so when I was around 17, I ran away from home, just looking for like something that was different. And American Apparel became that different thing that I was looking for.
Carson, a slender, long-haired white man, tightens his lips. American Apparel adds flash, including several with suggestive photos.
The American Apparel advertisements just broke every rule that, as a culture, we had back then.
Clothing company American Apparel has been widely condemned for its latest campaign.
This, by the way, is not American Apparel's first controversial ad.
The advertisements were basically softcore porn.
ABC News.
There's a sexual element to fashion that's inescapable. So, like, to then start saying, let's get scared about sex, I mean, it just doesn't add up.
Dove seemed to find models from just finding them in the store. Girls that he was like, you're attractive or you're fun, and he would go shoot with them.
Charney's always on the lookout for people like this woman, Natasha. He says he saw her walking down a street and jumped out of his limo to offer her a job.
I'll take over.
Is this true?
It's definitely true, yeah.
Did you think, who is this creep?
Yeah, I was in shock. I was like, what the heck? Yeah, who is this guy? Where is he coming from?
She was suspicious, but she did the photo shoot, and now she works for American Apparel.
The women in the ads, they weren't wearing makeup. They weren't posing in a, you know, practiced way.
We just go down to here. Nice little stretch. You know what I'm saying?
You felt this person isn't conventionally beautiful. They're not as thin. They don't have hair extensions. They don't have makeup on. That could be me.
I just love also that it put a name to the person, like it gives a bio of the person. Yes, some of it was very suggestive, but it was a brilliant idea.
This model works here?
Yeah, she works. She lives downstairs.
Susan Burfield.
What was interesting about Dove Charney and American Apparel is that it had a transgressive side and an idealistic side. And the sex without the idealism would just be sleazy. But the idealistic part without the sex would be boring. Dove embodied both of those beliefs and acted on them, and the company was expanding very quickly.
You don't need to be at lunch with anybody right now. You'd be earlier in and later out. You can't play around.
Michelle.
It absolutely felt competitive. It felt like you had to differentiate yourself from other people so that you wouldn't feel like Dove could ask someone else to do your job.
I've asked a million times. I think it's coming in.
Dove's very vocal. Just like whatever you're thinking, you say it. Like, this is wrong.
You're wrong. There's nothing. There's nothing.
And that was appealing to me because it's so opposite of where I came from.
Dove raises middle fingers.
Get the shit out the door.
So I really bought into it. I was like, okay, this is how you be a successful adult, is you have to like get in people's faces. I went from lowest position to manager of the store in like 6 months. And it was a big store too. But it still felt like I needed to prove myself. Like there must be more to this company that I could be a part of.
On a sunny day, people stroll on the boardwalk at Venice Beach.
Fundamental to the American Apparel brand is our revolutionary concept of sweatshop-free vertical integration. All our products are manufactured and marketed at our 800,000 square foot downtown Los Angeles facility, the largest single garment factory in the United States.
Factory workers step off of a lift.
Everything happened there. So like the marketing, the design, all the clothes was made there.
After graduating college, I thought, if the point of grad school is to just get a better job, what if I bypass grad school and I just apply to the factory? So I sent a letter of interest to HR and I got it.
Getting a job at the factory for me was a really big deal. It was like close to the action and that was really exciting. Like, yeah, right. This is who I am now.
Factory workers operate sewing machines.
Here, look, here's a whole bunch of people working really hard at sewing things. Hola!
Johnny walks through the factory.
Once you got to the factory, the initiation was where you knew you were definitely in Dove's inner circle. You would get a starter kit. So the starter kit was a Leica camera, a new BlackBerry phone, a copy of 48 Laws of Power, a book of strategies for success, and a Hitachi magic wand vibrator. So I kept the BlackBerry, I kept the camera, of course I kept the vibrator, and I threw away the 48 Laws of Power.
Johnny throws out the book.
I just cared about sex, drugs, and t-shirts.
In the stores, in the factory, across the board, you know, sex was everywhere.
Everyone was sleeping together, and you would see, like, some of the employees, like, hooking up in the stairwells.
We were young and horny, and it definitely felt like there was a free sex vibe. I mean, it was all part of the revolution.
A sales graph.
Despite a drop in retail industry profits, sales at American Apparel are up.
I quickly moved up in positions and got all these responsibilities.
Hello.
At 25, I had two cell phones. I had the CEO calling and texting me. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm really doing this adult thing.
Okay, here's our PR office.
I worked my way up to be in charge of fashion media and product placement.
The joys of being America's fastest growing retailer.
I was away from home. I was doing something and I was getting promoted. So it was like, look at me now, Dad. I don't need you guys. I'm 21 years old. Like, I'm like a manager of all these stores. There's all these employees that answer to me. I have all this like power.
And what did that feel like?
I felt like I was like king of industry.
Whether you worked at the factory or in the stores, Every time we got a bonus or a promotion or any time our salaries changed at all, they would have us sign a mediation agreement that said, hey, like, I've recently been offered more money, and that means I can't sue Dove, I can't talk about anything negative about the company.
In a reenactment, Michelle reads a contract.
Maybe I was naive, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll just sign.
Michelle signs the contract.
As an entire company, we had weekly conference calls.
All the stores were expected to call in, regardless of where they were across the world.
In grainy footage, several employees hold cell phones.
Sometimes you would dial in the line and it would say there were too many participants, when it was like, how is that possible? But it was just hundreds and hundreds of people.
Right now, we're mopping up a lot of crap here. You need to get these stores sold, okay?
If your store was not performing well, the conference call was potentially a very scary time for you because you would be at threat of being called out by Dove.
Welcome to fucking the real world.
I both looked forward to it and dreaded it.
That's right, you are a schmuck. Did you hear they tried to...
It was equally as entertaining as it was scary. Like, there was these different things like Fool of the Week.
There was always someone that he would call Fool of the Week. You know, Michelle, you're the Fool of the Week. Fool of the Week, you're fucking me. Like, oh my God. I mean, it was so mortifying that hundreds and hundreds of people heard that you personally are the Fool of the Week for a multi-million dollar company.
Michelle's eyes shine.
It did feel uncomfortable, like, fuck, I know I'm not supposed to laugh because he's also yelling at this person I respect and like, and then he's also saying something incredibly funny in the next thought, and it is so weird and challenging and confusing because you're like, do I hate him or do I think he's hilarious?
At that point in time, even though I was still working at the stores making like $9 minimum wage, I really got a sense that, like, if you had an idea, anything was possible with American Apparel. So I pitched this marketing idea, and suddenly I was on a flight to LA.
Barbed wire lines the fence outside the American Apparel factory on Alameda Street.
I'd been traveling all day. I got to the factory. It's like 11 p.m. And I can just hear Dove, like, just rambling, talking business. And I'm like, how is this guy still at the factory? And I'm like, please, like, I've been traveling all day. Where do I stay? And he kind of looked at me and was like, why don't you stay at my house?
Well, take a look at this huge home in Silver Lake. This is the Garbutt House, perched high above the Silver Lake Reservoir, an historic home owned by Dov Charney.
It's at the top of this little gated community. You go in, and the whole house is this creamy marble stone. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Photos of Dov's mansion flash.
Johnny Makeup was living there as well.
My friends were like, why are you living with your boss? And I was like, why wouldn't I live with my boss? Why wouldn't you live with your boss if you had the opportunity to live in a big, gorgeous house?
The door is always unlocked, always open, and there are just, like, girls everywhere, you know, making breakfast and, like, walking his dog and, I don't know, like a little, I don't want to say Playboy Mansion.
I guess it was like the Playboy Mansion, but for hipsters. It was unclear, like, what sort of relationship some of the girls had with Dove. Because if his door was closed, I wasn't supposed to go in.
Johnny smirks.
It was definitely an open secret that Dove was sleeping with the employees.
Look, I'm a single young guy. You fall in love with someone, you know, it's great to meet you. You're the woman of my life. I think you're ace in the hole, but sorry, you know, we can't. Because you work for me, or work for him, or you work for her, it would be inappropriate, be this, be that. You know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
I left Dove's house after my manager at the factory warned me, look, if you stay at his place any longer, you're going to become a Dove girl.
The Dove girl. That was somebody who, they don't really have a job title. Maybe they're Dove's girlfriend. Maybe they just travel with him, but they do the things that he wants.
Dove snaps his fingers at a girl.
And they have that responsibility because of the way they look.
You were kind of afraid of the Dove girls if they were around. They're this kind of like hit squad. You know, at my desk, there'd be some girl that would show up with a micro mesh shirt and nothing underneath and tell me something that I needed to do. And it would sort of be like, excuse me, who are you? Like, it's like, well, Dove says you have to do this.
Women are important to have around and they're easy to fall in love with. So what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? Right, Carla?
Yes.
All right.
Pedestrians cross a busy intersection in Tokyo.
From Los Angeles to Tokyo, in just 3 years, American Apparel stores have opened in 11 countries around the world, with sales of some $300 million last year.
There were billboards everywhere.
American Apparel billboards flash.
They were on the back of buses. They were on, like, benches, and you couldn't escape it.
And then there was the whole celebrity thing.
This is head to toe American Apparel.
Where we would make custom clothes for pop stars going on tour, like Rihanna, Britney Spears, and oh my God, Beyonce used to come late at night. We would close the store down for her. It was amazing.
Charlie Rose.
Your company is very successful. Do you want to take it public?
If we go public, we'll be on the right conditions. I want to do it on my own terms. I also don't want to be told what to do or how our ad campaign should be or what our political positioning should be. But if we do go public, I'm sure you'll be a hot stock.
Wall Street.
American Apparel is going public. With an infusion of millions of dollars from a big investment company, Charney plans to keep expanding.
When American Apparel became a public company, Dove created a pretty cozy board of directors. He was on it. There were four others. Two of them were personal friends of his. One was Robert Greene, author of The 48 Laws of Power. Dove was the chief executive officer and president. There was no chief operating officer. There was no chief technology officer.
I always got charged up when I walked through a factory.
In fact, the first CFO that he hired, he called a loser in the Wall Street Journal and then apologized. The CFO left.
Dove's management style was basically to push people as far as they could go and to pit people against each other.
Dove would call you on the phone and kind of trick you into saying something about someone that was actually listening. You know, someone would be like,
oh, Michelle's not really doing a good job. Like, she kind of messed this thing up.
And Dove would be like,
well, Michelle's on the line with you right now. Like, Michelle, you're an idiot.
You fucking idiot.
It's like a heavy narc culture. You benefited by tattletelling on other people.
I told her to send me the fucking photos. I reminded her like 3 times. Like,
it did seem like there were people vying for his attention and, you know, wanting to be the favorite and stuff. And ultimately, like, that caused a lot of, like, chaos with people, like, not getting along.
Is your internet working or not?
One time, I really confronted a manager that she was doing such a bad job about something that it's, like, brought her to tears. And I remember walking away from that just feeling like I wanted to, like, throw up. But, you know, I had my eye on the prize, and I felt like Dove was the type of successful that I thought I wanted to be, and I was trying to emulate the way that he operated.
Dove holds a phone.
Okay, what else?
Dove would look for the one thing that you're doing to fuck him, and he impulsively fired people because of that.
We're gonna, like, definitely focus on making sure, like, that we haven't really...
Who do we fire, Kurt?
What?
Who do we fire?
But he always defended it as like a critical key to success.
A global map appears.
When American Apparel went public, Dove Charney used all the company's money to open a lot more stores.
Halifax, Toronto,
London,
New York, Woodbury,
Savannah, Miami,
Beijing.
But then the recession hit.
Good evening, everyone. The signs were everywhere, but now it's official. We are in a recession.
A lot of really well-known retailers were doing badly, but American Apparel continued to expand.
In 2008, I remember people talking about the recession and me being like, there was a recession in 2008. Like, 2008, American Apparel was opening 5 stores in a city and, like, going into a new country, and recession didn't exist.
I need you to hire more merchandisers. If your payroll gets heavy, I'll travel.
That man, like, lit money on fire.
How many guys, you know, in previous recessions that were struggling, but they kept it going, and then they really bump up?
Inside the company, there was no one telling Dove things that he didn't want to hear.
Get over here.
And that's because, you know, there were a lot of young people who had the look that he liked, but didn't have a lot of experience.
It was like the most unnatural, scary thing to try to tell Dove no. Like, somebody like Dove doesn't understand the word no.
Wouldn't it be cheaper for you just to outsource this?
Direct labor, of course.
Just look at the immigration reform thing where Dove basically went to war with the U.S. government.
We are cracking down on employers who are using illegal workers.
In 2009, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, conducted an audit of American Apparel. And they found that about 1,500 workers were there with false or fake documents. And American Apparel had to let them all go.
The ICE raid was a huge financial burden because in a period of big growth for the company, he was forced to let those people go.
Everybody stop working.
And then rebuild a workforce.
We need to bring in more workers.
Necesitamos traer más trabajadores.
Okay, to take on the demand.
Dove was reeling from it for a very long time.
And to maintain the security of the company.
He felt like it was a deliberate attempt to get at his company. I mean, there was just so much financial strain at that time, so many bad decisions being made. But rather than accepting responsibility, he was starting to blame people or look for things to blame.
Edmonton, a fucking disaster. Here, a fucking disaster, okay? Climb out and figure it out.
So if you were in front of him at the wrong time or in the wrong mood, you would be the target.
I really, at this time, felt like I was personally responsible for part of the reason why the company wasn't doing well. And I think that that triggered that sort of predator response for him, where he was like, oh, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And he came after me.
You can say, I am sorry, sir, that my team has fucked you up. You call me. I'm gonna make you work the hours. He does not work.
He would yell, if you can't take this, then just fucking leave right now.
Hopefully by the end of the night, quit or you'll fucking submit. Okay? Quit or submit. We're gonna play a game, Mohammed. Bang. Let's go. Quit or submit.
And then I remember this one guy just got up and left. And I remember the aftermath of that. Everyone's like, what a loser. Like, he's so weak, he can't put up with this. Like, that's so pathetic that he just quit.
You're not good enough. Got it? You're not strong enough.
It's hard when you love someone but also see them being abusive to people. I mean, he would go from, like, screaming to being like, oh my God, did I scare you, baby? He would, like, have, like, this, like, little boy voice. And it was just confusing, you know, because I felt indebted to him. Like, for me, he was my only ticket.
An income graph declines.
At this point, the company is bleeding money. And so a frequent theme in the office was like, when is the ship gonna sink? What thing is gonna do that?
American Apparel had this internal whisper network. The entire factory talked on AOL Messenger, and we'd all go back and forth chatting. And one day, I'm sitting at my computer, and someone sends me a link saying, have you seen this?
Back now at 8:14 with the woman who is suing the CEO of American Apparel for sexual harassment.
What the fuck?
Wait, what?
I don't want to keep secret about this, and especially when I know there's
there might be others out there like me.
The 42-year-old Canadian entrepreneur is accused of bombarding her with calls and texts demanding she send him sexually explicit photographs.
Tony Jaramillo, attorney.
The allegations that landed on my desk made me feel absolutely enraged. I have two daughters, and it just made me think about, like, what they could possibly experience when they're in the workforce.
Tony sits alone at a conference table.
Initially, it was one woman that led to a second, but in doing our due diligence, we found other women who were claiming they experienced the same thing.
The CEO of the popular fashion line American Apparel is facing another sexual harassment lawsuit.
I made it very clear for him to stop. I said, no, please don't touch me.
Charney says he's simply an unorthodox executive who's spoken openly about having sexual relationships with some of his workers.
Have you ever sexually harassed an employee?
No.
One of the biggest issues in filing these lawsuits was that all the women had signed these agreements. They thought that this was the norm. But it basically said, you will not say anything disparaging about Dove Charney or American Apparel. And if you do file anything, you have to go to arbitration. You waive your right to a jury. You cannot be in court.
The company is saying, and Dove Charney is saying, that, you know, you signed a confidentiality agreement.
She was 17 years old when she signed that. The more important question to ask is, why is the company so focused on confidentiality?
It made me wonder at the time. Some of it I felt like, you know, hashtag, like believe women and stuff. But also at the same time, Dove was like a father figure to me. And so I kind of fell into this, like, oh my God, are they just trying to get a quick buck out of him?
Charney has never been found by any court to have sexually harassed an employee, and he says he's never paid any money in the cases against him.
There's something disingenuous about the claims. First of all, they're fake. Second of all, these claimants are being coached. Third of all, there's too much money involved in terms of the amounts of money that they're claiming. And I feel I'm prepared to take a polygraph.
I didn't personally see anything that I felt like was him coercing anyone.
The company introduced us to a group of high-level employees, all women, who say working for Dove Charney is a pleasure.
Dove's a really exciting person to work with.
I think Dove's a brilliant man. He's very loyal. I enjoy working for him.
It was kind of like, oh, please. Like, yes, everyone knows there's sexuality in the workplace.
I think it's a money grab. That's what I think.
Basically, it got to the point where everyone was joking about it.
SNL.
I'm beautiful, all right? Sex is beautiful. Sluts are beautiful. And if my employees don't like it, you know what? Sue me!
Dove stands in green underwear in the factory.
I don't remember feeling embarrassed or upset. I felt like we all just went back to work. One more shirt, one more watch, one more whatever.
American Apparel CEO Dove Charney is struggling to keep things afloat now, losing $86 million in sales, slapped with a $250 million sex abuse lawsuit.
After that, it definitely started to feel different. Dove was starting to get much more angry, much more paranoid about kind of who was on board with him and who was not.
Okay, how many did you do in New York? You should know it by heart.
I went from being golden boy status to, like, whipping boy. He was constantly berating me for something that I didn't do.
Kissing dummy, little fuck dummy.
We didn't see the glimmers of, like, he's making a joke or he's being charismatic anymore.
You fuckers are so cheap.
It was exclusively yelling.
I'm gonna fuck you over, Jim. I'm gonna fuck you.
He would freak the fuck out, like just punch holes in walls or, you know, I watched him smash one of those like wire trash cans, just like hitting it against the ground until it was like a smashed soda can.
Shame on you, little fuck!
And then he'd get like inches away from your face and just slap himself.
He would like hit himself and say, I'm hitting myself because I can't hit you.
Like pretty much to the point where he's like about to bleed.
It was just really crazy and really outlandish.
And he would leave you with this sort of like, I feel like my boss is gonna murder me or something.
Basically, it didn't feel safe in his house anymore. And so I left.
At that point, everyone I knew worked for American Apparel. All of my clothing was American Apparel. I had a company phone. I had a company computer. I was like so in it that I couldn't even see outside of like anything. I was like fully in.
Send him a picture of this assortment. And then I want you to critique yourself. Tell me what you were missing. An admission. Okay? His name's Carson. And you don't have any calculator watches, so go fuck yourself. You're off and you failed me. Okay?
I had been hearing Dove quote the 48 Laws of Power relentlessly for years. So I took it home with me just to like, all right, well, let's read through this thing.
Carson flips through a book. Before I ever met Dove, I had heard that he was obsessed with this book. And so it felt like finally I should take a look at it.
Never teach them enough so that they can do without you. Dove loves that one, I'm sure.
Keep your words vague, but full of promise.
Give your new disciples rituals to perform. Ask them to make sacrifices on your behalf.
Become the focal point of such desire by offering them a cause.
Play into people's need to believe and create a cult-like following.
How can I sell these? Where? How are they going to sell? They don't have the sticker. The sticker is 3 cents.
Keep others in suspended terror. Cultivate an air of unpredictability. Wow, it's just wild, because I would describe myself as terrorized from him, and he did it. He executed that perfectly.
It's villainous. It's such a manipulative way of thinking.
Learn to keep people dependent on you. Maybe I should have read this book.
That's like the cult leader 101. You just keep them a little bit hungry, and then you're the one that's only really feeding them what they need, and then you're able to control that situation.
Gosh, hindsight is amazing.
EJ closes the book.
It kind of makes me want to cry now. It's scary. It's really scary.
Was I so easily got by this? I mean, I'm from like essentially another cult. I got, and once it was like I was like primed as a kid growing up like Mormon to then just swing to the other side and basically go into the same thing. Once I'd seen the Emperor was wearing no clothes and that this was the tools that were being used to manipulate me, that's when I kind of had like an awakening moment of like, what the fuck am I doing?
At this point, it was really fucked up. But still, I was petrified to quit because the things he'd also say to me was, I'm going to blacklist you, so you'll never get a job in this industry, in this town. I know everybody. I'll tell everyone you're a piece of shit and you suck at your job.
Dove wears a headset.
But then things start to like come to a head and I don't even know what provoked it. He just started to send these texts about how I was fucking up the company and, you know, it's all your fault and you are meek. You don't have the passion to care. And I find it reprehensible. And then he sends an email to the company lawyer and then copies, you know, the retail director and me saying, like, effective Monday, reduce EJ's salary by 25%. And that was it. The next morning, I quit.
Text appears on an ad featuring EJ. Adios, EJ.
I started kind of putting my foot down about things that I felt like were unreasonable. Like, I got, like, 25 phone calls from Dove over this weekend telling me to come in. And then I got phone calls from, like, some of the girls and from other people of just like, you know, Dove's trying to call you. And it's like, I'm not answering. I'm not going to answer until I get here on Monday.
Bye, Carson.
So I basically got myself fired because I knew that if I quit, then he didn't have to pay me anything.
There was a day where I had not eaten anything all day. And I was like, Dove, I need a break. And Dove said, okay, go get a pizza across the street, be back in 5 minutes. And I was like, Dove, I need to eat a real meal with, like, vegetables. Like, I need a minute. And Dove just lost it on me. And as he was yelling at me, I just watched like a Dove girl bring him a freshly cooked steak on a plate and set it in front of him. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. And I just lost it on him. And the next day his lawyer was like, I think it's better that you just end your time with the company.
So long, Michelle. A newscast plays.
I was looking at the company. It's a market cap of less than $120 million. I mean, he has driven this company absolutely into the ground.
The fact of the matter is, this board has the responsibility to get to the bottom of this.
After I had gotten fired by Dove, I got this call from an independent auditor working for the board of directors, and it started to become clear that they were looking to get rid of Dove and looking for information to support that decision.
If someone wrote a book about fucking people over at all costs to get where you need to get, and then you put them on the board of directors, of course it's gonna come back to bite you in the ass.
The investigators found a server that Charney had been using on company property that contained emails, texts, graphic sexual videos, a lot of information that was really damaging to him.
Now, these are all allegations, right? But there has been video where he was literally running around naked in some room. I don't know if it was his apartment or a hotel room, while two of his female employees were in the room with him.
Dove dances naked.
He was crossing all kinds of ethical, potentially legal, lines and boundaries.
Now we have some evidence indicating that he had some inappropriate text exchanges with his employees. Your ass in that photo is the perfect cum target. Should I unload my cock now like a filthy pig?
That's way beyond acceptable.
So, company has to make pretty radical changes.
American Apparel's controversial CEO and founder is out.
American Apparel has terminated Dove Charney.
The company's board has fired him.
Fuck yeah, fuck him. He deserves to be fired.
I think he thinks terminating him is bad for the company. And we think that terminating him was the right thing to do.
I even cut out the headline and I cut out the article and I taped it to my journal because it was like such an amazing moment and I wanted to remember that.
A headline reads, American Apparel ousts founding CEO.
When he got fired, I felt a sigh of relief, but I also felt like I lost my family. It was really hard to wrap my head around. Yes, there was abuse. There was also fun times. And that's why it's so layered.
I believe the ousting of Dove Charney was because the board saw that these claims happened over and over again. And, you know, they would be subjected to further liability.
Tony Jaramillo.
The women who came forward were very brave, in my opinion. But because, unfortunately, these arbitration agreements were signed, they were silenced. And so we had to do something. It just cannot continue.
In court.
My client is here to talk about her real life experience as to what happened to her.
So we went up to the Capitol to try to have the law change so that employers can no longer require employees to sign away their legal rights.
My entire employment at this company was awful. It was absolutely earth-shatteringly dehumanizing to be employed at this company. It has taken me close to 8 years of unraveling to undo and reflect on all the things that this man was allowed to take from me. What really pisses me off is that he took my voice. I would love to tell you my story. I would love to tell you the details of what happened to me at that company, but I'm not at liberty to do so.
Knowing that, like, okay, he was capable of, like, the screaming and sometimes the physicality with me, I started to feel like maybe he was capable of the things that he was getting accused of.
Text appears. Dove Charney denied all of the accusations against him. Due to the agreement signed by his accusers, each complaint was dismissed and sent to confidential arbitration. However, during legal proceedings, some of the women's allegations entered the public domain. Now, for the first time, we are bringing their accounts together, voiced by actors.
I was 18 when I started working at American Apparel. Dove invited me to LA for a week-long merchandising training, which took place at his home. He didn't allow me to go back home and grab a suitcase. He made it clear that I was to stay at his house.
Dove invited me to his home, and when I got there, he was just wearing his underwear.
Dove offered me to model for American Apparel. When I turned up, he was wearing just a towel.
I found myself alone with Dove in his bedroom. He asked me if I was an exhibitionist or a voyeur.
He dragged me inside and forced me to give him oral sex.
And then he demanded that I give him oral sex.
He tried to take photos and then instantly attacked me, forcing me to perform sexual acts.
He demanded I show him my breasts.
And when I said no, he became more aggressive and violent.
He took me to the bedroom, got on top of me, and I almost suffocated from him forcing me to perform another sexual act.
He was old enough to be my father.
He didn't let me leave
and tried to sodomize me.
I was 18.
Dove Charney has never faced allegations of abuse in a public court. In a black and white photo, Dove stares ahead.
Dove, he's gotten away with a lot, and he will probably continue to get away with a lot. It's like how people are different animals, and that type of person is a predator. So it'd be like a shark or a rattlesnake or something. And no amount of being mad at a rattlesnake or a shark will ever change what they are. They're always going to bite. And it's incredibly frustrating because it's something that, for whatever reason, in society, we've kind of just let that type of person continue.
9 months after firing Dove Charney, American Apparel filed for bankruptcy. Charney went on to create Los Angeles Apparel before being hired as CEO of another huge fashion brand. A logo appears over a photo of Dove and Kanye West, Yeezy.
If American Apparel was successful as an extension of you, what extension of you are we getting now? We're still getting...
The same one!
I'm not sorry about shit.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Amanda Bruton. Voiced by Denise Heffier. Credits. Director, Sally Rose Griffiths. Producer, Georgia Jasper. Executive producers for Raw, Shoen Adelisoy DeNicola, Alexander Marengo, Tim Wardle. Executive producers for BBH, Casey Feldman, Erica Roberts, William Swan. Series producer, Ben Rumney. Line producer, Matthew Rangecroft. Director of photography, Ryan Earl Parker. Editors, Brett Irwin, Tanya Tracholius. Composer, Justin Nichols. Copyright 2025 Netflix. Logos, Raw. BBH Entertainment, Albert Certified Production.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.